the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. Hallelujah, and praise the Lord that I can stand here and testify of God's wondrous grace in my life. For those of you who don't know me, my name is John, and I have been attending True Jesus Church services since August of 2017. I got introduced to TJC in 2017 by my now wife, Kelly. These past 2.5 years have been filled with many blessings in my life. I received true water baptism in September of 2018, and I received the promised Holy Spirit in April of 2019. And I got married this past August. Speaking about it in this manner is almost laughable to me. The past 2 years have been a constant struggle and battle to humbly accepting this precious gift that God has granted me and let go of my worldly mentality and actions. Today, though, I would like to share with you all about my experience in other denominations and how God has opened my eyes to see the truth here at TJC. I grew up in a Catholic household, but it seemed to me that our faith was more out of tradition passed on from my grandparents. Growing up, it never seemed like any of my siblings or parents had this close personal relationship with God. It was more like we would look to God for protection in times of need and viewed God as this figure that has all these rules that no one follows. For example, I always knew and agreed with that infidelity was wrong and we weren't supposed to do it. But now I'm able to see the spiritual meaning and weight of adultery. It's hard to explain into words, but I'm not following a rule. I'm following the spirit of the rule and an institution that God set since Adam and Eve. I grew up going to Catholic masses every week during school, but this was actually awful because I'd be so bored. We were all germaphobes in my family too. So during mass, we wouldn't even drink the wine during communion because we had to drink out of the same cup as everyone else. I now think, wow, how could I feel like skipping that was okay? Once I got into public high school, I stopped practicing Catholicism because my parents didn't force me to continue because they themselves really never practiced either. For my family, we were taught to be respectful, polite, and generous. So naturally, this made us feel pretty good about ourselves, that we were good people. This was a mentality that continued throughout my life. I would look around at other people and think, well, I'm not like them, or wow, I cannot believe they did that. See, I'm a good person. I don't do those things. This created this pride in me that made it seem like I was creating my own glory by my self-will. This all changed, though, once I attended TJC. I was no longer comparing my actions to people of this world. I was comparing my actions and attitudes to the children of God. Looking back, every time I acted nice or did something nice, it took energy and effort like gasoline for a car. But now I simply am just nice. Like I feel purified from the inside out, where I don't have to act nice, I just simply and truly am nice. By the end of high school, I started attending mainstream Christian churches, and it sparked this motivation to try and build a relationship with God. I ended up attending services all over the country, to even Florida and New York. These churches all felt mostly the same to me. I never realized that doctrine was a thing. I never thought about questioning what the church itself believes in. I just listened to the message, and if they had a good band, I would stay. Church was something for me that wasn't a second priority, or even a fourth or fifth priority. I would only go to church if I had a really bad week, and I was going through something difficult, or I had nothing else to do. I would even go back to Catholic services too. Little did I know they believe in completely different things. My life was fine. I was coasting through life, working and going to school. But I had no idea I was slowly dying a spiritual death. I started becoming really obsessed with germs in college and also placing so much pride on my academics. I also had no motivation to not sin, no motivation to read the Bible, no motivation to pray because I thought that God already predestined my life anyway. I even used to not eat pork for a short time, thinking this is what we were supposed to do as Christians. I did not believe in hell because how could this all-loving God condemn people to everlasting punishment? It just didn't make sense to me. I even had this disgust when any, like this disgust in my stomach when anyone would say, fear God. Because again, why should we be afraid of God? Because he's all loving. This was my mentality. I look back and realize that how I thought about who God was actually just how I wanted to perceive him. Who God was, to me, went along with my logic and my own wants and opinions. God was who I wanted God to be. And these beliefs and opinions would change as time went on as well. I never looked to the Bible for answers. When I first met Kelly and found out she was a Christian, it made me so happy. I asked her once if she read the entire Bible, and she said, yes, I have. I was beyond shocked. This concept was just too unfathomable for me to comprehend. I could barely make it through a chapter, if that. I didn't even know books were written to specific churches. I could tell church was so important to Kelly and that I was going to have to see what this true Jesus church was all about, but not without a worldly deal with her. I said, I will attend your church if you attend mine. Little did I know, she was just saying she would go to my church, but actually, she knew she wasn't going to go. But that was the only way that I would say yes to going to her church. I wanted her to see both perspectives and then choose which church was better after that. But thank God, after my first day at TJC, I have never been back to my old church. God allowed me to know which church was better. Even though there were so many things I didn't understand, things like hymn singing, the Holy Spirit, Sabbath day, and even attending church for more than 1 hour were just so foreign to me. I now realize that these things that were so different about TJC are the things that make TJC just so special and unique. I didn't understand, but I was determined to find out the truth for myself. I started studying and listening to sermons to see if this was truly for real. Slowly but surely, my questions and doubts started getting answered. The amazing thing I thought early on about TJC was that they welcomed questions. Like, it wasn't that I just had to accept this as the status quo and to just blindly follow what the pastor was saying. I actually realized that brothers and sisters had similar questions as me. So usually I was able to get a pretty thorough answer to my questions. There are things that are just so different and amazing about TJC. I remember one sermon I was listening to, the pastor was talking about how people who are depressed have a hole inside their hearts and they use all these worldly things to try to fill it, like drugs and alcohol, but only God can fill it. I was like, oh wait, this is the exact same concept I heard from an addiction specialist that works at Hoag Hospital in one of my college classes. I was just shocked that a pastor could have this knowledge that I thought could only be gained from academia. Hymns were another stumbling block at first for me too. I used to love to listen to Christian rock during church service at my old church. This was one of my favorite parts of going to church, was listening to the band play songs. I would get so emotional, inspired, listening to the songs being played. Then the offering basket would be passed around. At my first NYTS, a pastor was sharing the difference between emotional high and spiritual depth. And this was exactly what was happening. When I listened to Christian rock, I was so touched, but it never actually gave me true power to change. I actually never even sung the songs out loud in church because I was too embarrassed in my voice. Coming to TJC, I realized that people didn't care if I sounded terrible or that I messed up the words. It was truly about praising God. Even though in the beginning, I didn't realize that there were verses and I was just reading line by line in order. It still feels like that sometimes. I even tried explaining this concept of emotional high versus spiritual depth to a friend, and he just asked if I was in a cult. It makes me realize that God opens our eyes to see the truth and not ourselves. When I would leave service at my old church, I would usually feel pretty good and motivated to try and live a life for Christ, and I knew that God loved me. But when I leave service at TJC, I feel, wow, I'm so awful. I can do so much better in my life. And God, I have come up short again. But this is actually biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about how godly sorrow leads to repentance. This sorrow I feel in my heart helps me repent and change the path that I'm not on and not feel complacent. Another part of my early journey in faith had me looking for verses that would prove my faith and prove God was real. And I would find one, but then I'd forget and then be looking for another. This kind of reminds me of when I forget about the grace I've received and feel like I need God to do more in order for me to believe and stay on this path. Right before my baptism, I started questioning God's existence and started having these atheistic thoughts. I would look up to the sky and think, wow, how could this God I believe in be above the atmosphere? I started thinking of God in this abstract way instead of knowing that this God I believe in is, yes, above the sky, but this God I believe in is also right next to me in all that I do. Seeing God in these experiences and trying to gain a more personal relationship with God has helped me through these struggles. I hope I remember correctly, but a pastor shared during a sermon that when he was young, he would come up with all this evidence to try to provide answers for the questions he had about God and church. He said as he got older and studied more of the Bible, though, he just had more unanswered questions. But he said the older he gets and the longer he serves, the more he understands what he's doing and the more he understands where he is going after he dies. I was so touched. This was such great encouragement for me to try and continue to humbly submit to God's teachings and to not refer to my own logic or thought or how I would have done it. When I started on my journey at TJC, I couldn't help just be so wowed at the way church operates. Things like sharing a meal together between services was a new concept because I just used to show up late to church and leave as soon as the hour was over, not talking to anyone. And also, the food is so good here. I love noodles, and I would try to get the noodles that we get at church from the restaurant called Canon, and I go and eat them, and I'm like, they don't taste as good. But it's the same ones at church. And then even with like chili sauce, I bought the chili sauce to try to replicate the lunch that I have, and it still doesn't taste the same. Yeah, it really touched me when Preacher Co was talking about that, the love meal, that it's really I'm filled with the love of God, not the food. Even other things touched me about TJC, like how we view homosexuality, emphasis on Bible studies, family dynamics, marriage, church seminars, people driving so far to church and not just being about going to the most convenient church, offerings, praying for the Holy Spirit, having universal beliefs across all churches throughout the world, even how we pay ministers, recognizing we have no founders and no leaders, even worldly logic on church operation makes sense to me. It is just so amazing to me that all these things come directly from the Bible too. And as for some of the other things that TJC does that are contrary to how the world does things, it is okay for me to accept, because frankly, I don't want to end up like how the world ends up and be on the same path as them. So being okay is different, and this is how I'm supposed to feel. At my grandparents' Catholic funeral, I sat and listened to the priest give an encouragement, and it just felt so lifeless to me. He was using the Bible with verses as encouragement, but nothing hit my soul. And the verses had no weight because he never explained the context of their meaning. He just used the verse as a supplement to what he was already talking about. This is like my experience in other churches. They would use theme verses to aid in their sermon rather than the verses being the main topic. I realized how could they talk about context when people like myself who never read the Bible could understand. I looked at other churches, radio stations, and TV pastors as only being able to surfacely encourage people because people have no idea what the Bible says. How can they get into a story of the Bible when no one knows what they are actually talking about? Coming to TJC, I saw the obvious fact that there was no one around that looked quite like me. And I'm not talking about my height, but this is part of it too. I think, again, this is a worldly mentality of me thinking this is just an Asian church. We like to put things in categories and cast them off as nothing more. It took me a little bit to realize that why can't God choose a more predominantly Asian community to be the start of his true church? Do I feel like God's church should be white? I looked at myself like, wow, this is some serious ethnocentrism I'm feeling. This was a tough way to actually look at myself, but it was an eye-opening moment. I realized that in Jesus' time, people were not white, so why would I think during the present time that God's church should be white? I see that the truth in the Bible has no ethnicity or color. The truth is the truth, and I must submit to God's will and way of doing things as he wants, not how I would do things. I look at our basic beliefs and see that if a church does not practice these things that the Bible tells us to do to enter into salvation, then how can I be so proud to say that they will be okay when the Bible clearly says otherwise? This is what got me into trouble before coming to TJC. Having my own opinions about God rather than looking to the Bible myself. Again, this is where I have to humbly submit to God's words, or God's will and God's words, rather than my own. To just simply trust and obey. I know I'm not at the place where I want to be in my faith. I still fall short of taking up my cross. I still am afraid to be condemned, criticized, or have opportunities taken away from me as a result of my faith. But I continue to ask God for power, mercy, and grace to help me stay on this path to salvation. Because even though I have only been a member of TJC for a little over a year, I can truly see just how narrow the gate and difficult the way is to heaven. But what has helped me make this road a little easier to walk on has been the advice that Kelly gave me early on. She told me to share my doubts, and she told me to be open about my concerns, and that there will be times where we don't know the answers, but we can seek them out together. I know for me, trying to ignore and keep these things inside will only make it worse in the long run. But it is a hard thing because pretty much all the time I never want to share my doubts or questions because of shame, judgment, or people thinking that I'm not strong. But I know I must continue to push through these feelings because I usually feel better once I shed light on these doubts and questions. Second part of the equation is having strong spiritual friends. For me, not having anyone in my life to share faith with or talk about God to has made it extremely important to have those close brothers and sisters that I can share with and know that I won't be judged. I don't know about all of you, but every time I leave a conversation talking about faith, whether it be struggles or successes, I leave feeling so fulfilled and touched by God. That's why I love talking about faith so much. Lastly, another part of this equation is marrying in the Lord. God loves me so much to save me, to choose me, and to bring me to TJC to marry Kelly before I even realized how special TJC was. I didn't truly, fully realize how important marrying in the Lord was until I actually got married. Having this spiritual oneness and this common goal that Kelly and I are both striving for gives us this direction that we can be on together. It's not a one-person fight. Having someone to sing hymns with, share my doubts with, go to seminars with, and to pray with is truly a blessing from God. I think about how can we do all of this alone? And I feel like this road was never meant for us to walk on alone. I reflect back on my journey and truly see the specialness of TJC. And I'm going to do whatever I can to not take for granted all the things that makes this one true church just so unique. I will conclude with this verse I came across in my Bible reading very recently, and I feel like it perfectly sums up my journey of faith so far. It's Psalm 61, 7. Psalm 61, verse 7, the latter part. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. And I just want to say, I know there were parts of my testimony that I sped by. When I listen to others testify, sometimes there are things I wanted to hear more about. So please, if you want to know more about my journey, then just feel free to come up and ask. And we can even sit down too, so you don't have to like look up at me. All right, this now concludes my sharing. May all the praise, honor, and glory be given to our Heavenly Father.
Opposite problem here. Okay, let's begin with a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, I share my testimony. So I was asked to share either about my process of applying to be a TTP student, or share about why I believe that this is the one true church. So I think considering the theme here, I've tried to amalgamate the two. And in fact, realize that the two actually are not separate, cannot be separated. I think the process that that John went through, or the process that people that come to the church later on in life go through, is the same process that those of us who were born in this church or grew up in this church have to go through as well. And that process is one of seeking to draw near to God, and also to understand who God is, and why is it that we are convicted, or why is it that we believe in what we believe in. And if we don't make that conscious effort to truth seek, even though we are already members, then the faith that we have is only of a certain level, and is not necessarily rock solid, so that when challenges come, there can be shaking of our faith, and in some cases, some of us leave the church. So that process is very important. I tried to sum up the process in my mind from kind of, not quite birth, but from young until now, and I put it in these following stages. So the first is brainwashing. And brainwashing is normally associated with negative connotations, but I think you can look at it in a positive way as well, because if your brain is being washed of filthiness and you are being washed with the right stuff and it is of truth, then I'd rather be brainwashed with the truth than be brainwashed with something else or a million other concepts out there in the world. So yes, brainwashing, what I'm saying is that is what I received, is what I just took as something that is true because I was told so. So I guess I never really doubted that fact. But the second stage is reason. So when you get a little bit older, you have to think, well, there must be some logic to this. And so when you look around the church, you think, oh, a lot of people speak in tongues. They've received the Holy Spirit, and surely not all of them are making it up. They can't all be faking it. So there's a little bit of logic there that, okay, there's something to this, even though I've not received it myself. On one instance, when I was probably less than 10, and there was an evangelistic service, and there were some visitors from other churches, actually. And I remember very distinctly that during one of the prayers for the Holy Spirit, I was not praying, opening my eyes, and the person next to me suddenly started speaking in tongues, and I was like, wow, that's something's here. Yeah, so I think little things like that, even though it wasn't first-hand experience at that time, gave me some reasoning or some logic that, yeah, I think there is something here. And then the next stage, of course, is experience, which is my own personal experience of God's protection or God answering my prayers. But I think the most concrete one is receiving the Holy Spirit, because that is the one promise that God has given us that we all will receive. So when you see that you've been taught that you must receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues from young, and one day that happens to you, especially maybe if you've received it later on in life. For me, it was after university, so about 22. Then perhaps that was even more impacting, that, oh, finally, what that it's true, it's all true, it's all true. So the next one is the experience. But then I think that's not enough as well. I think it's a very solid foundation, because unless you feel like you've not received the Holy Spirit and you've received something else, but I was pretty clear that I received something good. And the final stage is being able to base your faith on the foundation of the truth, meaning that the word of God is irresistibly true, so that you can be convicted in the word of God for yourself, and then for the sake of preaching to others. So that last part, I think, is something that we are all striving for, to be able to explain the word of God and to let the word of God speak the truth to those who we are trying to preach to, because it is irresistible. As I mentioned, I grew up in the church, and those experiences from young, that process was, I guess, enough to keep me rooted, even though my personal journey of faith was not necessarily one that was always close to God. But that understanding of, or that belief in the one true church was always there. And so the stage whereby there was a turning point was after university. And at that time, I began to draw near to God, probably consistently for the first time in my life. So in the past, we would attend convocations, we would attend, do all these things because, you know, it's circumstantial, and you would pray hard during those few days of convocation. But then afterwards, you never keep it up. Well, at least I didn't. But for the first time in my life, I guess I decided to pray and to read the Bible on a daily basis, not loads, just, you know, consistently, with the motive of just drawing near to God and saying to myself that, okay, if this is the truth, then if I pray every day, I read every day, then something good should come out of it. So as I began that new routine, I guess the words of God and the love of God began to stir up my heart to do two things. And these two things are the two things that we are always taught. One is to preach and one is to pastor. So I had a very simple way to approach it. One was to try to preach more, to at least share the gospel with my colleagues. And the second was to care for people in the church. So on one occasion, this was before I found my permanent job. I was doing some part-time work at a restaurant. There was one of the chefs who was having a debate with an atheist in during the break time. And so during that break time, it was quite a heated and also quite a dramatic scene of these two people debating the existence of God. And the rest of us were all sat there with our popcorn, watching and really intrigued. And for myself, I was actually very touched by the conviction of the he was a Muslim, but touched by his conviction in the belief in the existence of God, and so that made me reflect upon my own faith and how much I know about my own faith and how convicted or how able I am to defend what I believe in. So I began to preach to him, and it was during that process of preaching to him that I guess the purpose in life began to be more clear. It was also that time that I had a little thought of maybe this is something that I should do on a full-time basis, but I put that to the back of my mind. So as I mentioned, the other thing that I tried to do was try to look out for people in the church. And during that time, I was not somebody that really spoke to people much. I didn't really care too much about mingling with others. I just went to church, went home, and I was quite happy with my own company. But I saw a brother, an elderly brother. He was sitting by himself, and he always sits by himself. So I thought, okay, Bible teaches me I need to pastor. So let me go and speak to this brother. Let me go and care for him. So I went to speak to him, and had a long conversation, and in the end, he encouraged me a lot. My intention was there to try to encourage him, but somehow the conversation just went in a direction whereby he encouraged me concerning receiving the Holy Spirit, because at that time I had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so he asked me, you know, why have you not yet received the Holy Spirit? So I said, you know, I don't know. I've tried really hard. I've prayed really hard in the past. I've cried. I've even fasted. And then so he would say the usual, okay, you need to repent of whatever sins you've committed, you know, ask God for the help. And I said, yeah, I've done all of that. I just can't put my finger on it. So he said to me, why don't you just ask God why you haven't yet received the Holy Spirit? And I'd never thought of even thinking to ask God that question, because, you know, we're always taught God has his timing. But for some reason, when he asked me to, when he suggested that, that struck a chord. And he simply was saying to me, look, you don't understand, but why don't you ask God? Why don't you ask your Heavenly Father why you have not yet received the Holy Spirit? So I think a week or two after, I was lying down in bed, and I began to recall the words of this brother, and I started asking God in my heart. It's not that I was being disrespectful and didn't want to actually kneel down to pray. It was because there was some, my sister was asleep in the same room at that moment in time, because we had visitors. We don't normally stay in the same room. So I was just praying to God in my heart, and I was saying, God, you know, I don't understand why I've not received the Holy Spirit yet. And that question became very burdening in my mind, in my heart, to the point that I started tearing up. You know, to my surprise, I didn't expect to be so emotional about asking God why I have not yet received the Holy Spirit. And to give you an idea of how emotional I was, my sister woke up because of my cry, and she was like, oh, what is going on here? So I was like, oh, but thank God, that was actually amazing timing for myself and her, our relationship to become very close. Before that, we were not close at all. So God put us in that position. And so basically I explained to her, yeah, I don't know why God hasn't given me the Holy Spirit yet. So obviously she comforted me and said, you know, God has his timing, etc. Same old stuff. So I went downstairs in the morning. So we talked like all night. I went downstairs in the morning as per my newfound routine of, you know, a little bit of prayer in the morning. And in that prayer, my prayer was initially to pray for my sister, because she had some worries and some burdens. So that prayer was initially just for her. And as I began to pray, suddenly I heard a sound which sounded like a vibration sound. And at first I was a bit startled, and I didn't know, you know, what it was. So I stopped, and then there was complete silence. So I thought, okay, I'll continue praying. And then as soon as I continued to say hallelujah, the sound came back, and then so I stopped for a second time. And during this time, actually, apart from hearing this vibrating sound, I also I felt my arms were also vibrating. And you know, sometimes when you're praying really hard, you kind of maybe you vibrate yourself. So I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, you know, doing this myself. So that's another reason why I stopped twice. But on the third time, when I continued prayer, the sound came back, and then this force moving, vibrating my arms just became very evident. It was just, as soon as I started the prayer, it was a very powerful experience. So I thought, okay, God, if this is from you, then I'll just keep praying. And within a couple of minutes, suddenly I started, my tongue started rolling, the sound disappeared. And in that moment, it was like a light switch that turned on from saying hallelujah very slowly and very carefully, because that was my habit of praying, trying not to mix my words, to suddenly rolling tongues. And I was praying quite loud, so my sister probably woken up again. She came downstairs, and obviously she was in amazement, because we had just been talking about me wondering why I've not yet received the Holy Spirit, and then next thing you know, I've received the Holy Spirit. So we started talking, we prayed, and then during one of the conversations, I remember saying to her, oh, it wouldn't be great if we could just go to heaven right now, because that moment when I received the Holy Spirit, I felt so joyful, so physically light. The closest thing to heaven that I've ever experienced, yeah, it was that joyful, indescribable. So I said to her, it would be great if we go to heaven right now. I mean, I don't know why I said that. I mean, was it, I want to die now or what? But it was just that joy. So I went back to pray, and I couldn't speak in tongues anymore, and I couldn't figure out at all what was going on. So for the rest of that day, which was a Friday, I continued to just ask God to give me peace and just to give me peace, because I didn't know what was going on. So the next day was Sabbath day, Saturday. Continued to ask God to give me answers this time. Like, God, I don't understand why you would just, you know, take it away. So during the first Sabbath, the first hymn that was sung was hymn 418. And the content of that hymn is, you cannot find peace or joy unless your all on the altar is laid. And as soon as that hymn was sung, I was very moved by the hymn, to the point that I was tearing up, and every single word, lyric of that hymn cut through my heart. And yes, it reminded me of my thought of wanting to serve God full time. But I think more importantly, that message in the hymn is applicable to all of us as Christians who want to gain true peace and true joy. And the reason why we don't have that is because we haven't offered our whole life to God. God isn't our all, and that's why we'll never gain peace and joy if that's the case. And so when I got that answer through that hymn, that day I spoke in tongues again. And so what I realized was that when I received the Holy Spirit, in my mind was, oh great, I can go to heaven now. But that's not the purpose. That's not the only purpose why God gives us the Holy Spirit. The reason why God gives us the Holy Spirit is to be a witness to the world. Yeah. So when they received the Holy Spirit, they received power, the apostles, and then they were supposed to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's the reason, one of the most important reasons why we receive the Holy Spirit. So when in my mind I thought, oh great, I can go to heaven now, God was basically telling me, well, no, that's not the only reason why you receive the Holy Spirit. There's a purpose for each and every one of us for receiving the Holy Spirit, and that is to be a witness. And the other thing I learned as to why God temporarily took away the Holy Spirit from me is that in the past, yeah, I did pray very hard. I was very genuine. I did cry, but it was only circumstantial. It was only because I was in convocations. It was only because my parents told me to. But this time, what I noticed was that when I decided to draw near to God of my own accord, it was just a matter of a couple of weeks before I received the Holy Spirit. And I think that lesson can also be applied to those of us who are still praying for the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that, you know, the same time frame will apply to you, but the main thing is that are you wanting to draw near to God and love God on a daily basis, not based on circumstances? And I think God sees that and he really appreciates that. So the question that I asked God, God, why have you not given me the Holy Spirit yet, was answered through that experience of giving me the Holy Spirit, then taking it away, and then giving back to me, to make me understand the reason why we receive the Holy Spirit. So naturally after that, I was very convicted of the one true church, of everything that we've been taught, and I began to, you know, start preaching more. And I think when you begin to preach more, there's two things that can happen. One is that because you come across a lot of different people, different walks of life, be it church, other Christians, or non-Christians, you will then face challenges that you've never maybe thought of, or questions that you've never thought of before. And then there's two ways to go. One is that some of these questions are so difficult to answer, and you don't have the answer to them, that your faith is shaken, and to the extreme, you kind of just, because you can't answer these questions, you just throw the baby out with the bathwater, meaning that you just reject the whole thing. Or the other way is that, no, since I have received the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe this is the evil spirit, I'm pretty sure it's the Holy Spirit, what I've been taught and what everything the church has taught me has been proven by God himself through the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And because I believe that, therefore, I know that whatever challenges, whatever questions that people may ask, more often than not, these answers can be found in the Bible and within the church itself. So if you've held fast to the fact that you have had the experience of receiving the Holy Spirit, and you know that this is the church that God has decided to choose and to put his Spirit within, then actually you have complete hope and trust that you will be able to find the answers to then further concrete your faith. So for me, the process of preaching since after receiving the Holy Spirit has actually served to further strengthen my faith. It hasn't caused me to doubt or wonder whether we are the true church. Because when you preach, there's two reactions. The first one is that people will believe, and obviously, and then if they receive the Holy Spirit, then your faith is also further enhanced. And the other is that they will reject what you say. And oftentimes we find that when they reject, the reasonings are really clutching at straws, because they've not been able to really just submit to what the word says, and then they come up with some answers that show that they're not willing to. So either way, your faith is strengthened. So, just to conclude, I think the most important thing is that after we've drawn near to God, we've received the Holy Spirit, the next thing is that we need to ground our faith on the Word of God itself. So that it's not just, oh, I believe just because it's the tradition of my parents. I believe because I want to, please my parents, or because I'm part of this social setting, or just because I've had certain experiences. I think our faith needs to grow to the extent that it becomes rooted on the very Word of God, so that when we speak the Word of God, people can't refute what we say. And not because of our eloquence or our logic, but because the Word of God speaks for itself. I just want to turn to a verse in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. Acts chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So this here is talking about Stephen when he was speaking or argue or debating with these people of this synagogue of the freedmen. And here is this, that they were not able to resist. They had no comeback, because what he was able to speak is, of course, by the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that was given to him. But back then, they preached using the Word of God as well, because they used the Old Testament scripture. Right? So when you look at the way the apostles preached, it was always based on the Word of God, which was at that time only the Old Testament scripture. And they were debating probably with loads of other people that were perhaps kind of familiar with it. But because they knew the scripture so well, these people were not able to resist the truth that they spoke. And that is the same place that we need to get to in True Jesus Church. And the exciting thing is that the answers are there. And we just need to refine our understanding and our sharing of these words. And then our faith can then be truly rooted on the truth, something that goes beyond just feeling, beyond just experience, and beyond just tradition. Amen.
Thank you so much for the two of them, thank God. And Sister Kelly, your husband, really fought in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and also fought in love with the TJC. And thank God. And also, Brother Nish, the sharing the testimony, it seems like a similar pattern that I came into wait. I received the Holy Spirit, and also because I are born in a TJC, and God really a way to convince me. Very similar, really. Why I come to the truly convinced because of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, because I received the Holy Spirit in this chapel. 1984, yeah. So at that time, there's a note there, back there's a structures here. At that time, the elder share here to the helping us, the spiritual convocation, but my English really poor at that time. But I just keep on asking myself, and why not me? The rest of them all received the Holy Spirit. Then how come me, just over 10 years, I pray for the Holy Spirit, yet just not to me. So some of them, just like in English, you're the same way. They say, maybe you have a sin, you have to continue to, you know, to repent. So I thought I said repent, but then still not. So it's kind of struggle, sometimes fasting, prayer, but it's not. But I end up came to myself to answer as, you are the sinner. Yeah, the message is coming into my mind, and that you are the sinner. So then when I kneel down, I pray, and I just, tears keep on coming up, coming to through my eyes. And I just mix up with my nose running and then eyes. And I don't know which one is which one, but because then I thought it's the same thing, you know, what Dinesh mentioned, that because I, you know, speak hallelujah too fast, maybe because it mixed my mouth, that's why. So after spiritual convocation, and then I go home about 2 a.m., I get up. Is it truly? And then I kneel down. I holding hands, say, I want to say hallelujah very slow. So I say hallelujah. And I just, but then it coming up, you know, it's not me, but hallelujah, make it faster and changing the tongue. My hands is moving. And then I myself confirmed, convinced that this is the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is so precious. When I, just a few more minutes, I'd like to share. When I was assigned to the Zambia there, you know, the join with there, the helping this one month. And there was a second time that, the second year, following year, we're helping the spiritual convocation. There's a three of them, other denomination came. Two of them, they claimed that they received the Holy Spirit. And so we have a nighttime, there's no lights in the indoor, because it's countryside. And we just, you know, after the messages, the message is simple, because we have $1, you know, the lights, you go to 99 cent store, they can squeeze, then you can see. So the few Bible verse, and then you just preach about 30 or 40 minutes, and then we pray together. And then during the prayer, we lay on hands, and they also pray. And then we just lay on hands to them. They say speaking tongues, I look at it, that tongue is different. So what can I do? Because I'm just going to struggle. Should I have to lay on hands to them? Hey, just go ahead and lay on hands. Tongue is changed. Tongue is changed. They testify later, that's the Holy Spirit. So later they testify to the congregations, because they thought that what they had in the spiritual congregation, I mean, that what they had, that's the Holy Spirit. But once they came to our church, they attend the spiritual convocation, and he kind of re-received the Holy Spirit. Two of them, they want to stay one day, but they stay all the way to the whole spiritual convocation. They testify that this is a true church, and this Holy Spirit is a true. And I say, really, really, thank God. We have to understand the Holy Spirit that we have is a true spirit. I experienced, and Nisi experienced the same way, because I born in TJC. I thought it's a brainwashed when I was later, and later kind of, you know, just because I grown up here. My parents always, you know, my father was a, you know, the pastor in this church, and as my mom also always talk about, and always, you know, the service of Tuesday night, Friday, Saturdays, you know, the spiritual convocation and student spiritual convocation, all the things goes on. But I find out, the Holy Spirit is within us. The church is not established by the Spirit, and it's not a true church. So we have to clear. Because Holy Spirit is a requirement for the true churches. Holy Spirit that lead us into the truth. So we have a truth. And also, Holy Spirit help us, the miracle. Miracle is sometimes, if we do not have a truly act upon the truth, then the miracle may be weaker. But once we come to the Lord and the Spirit of God move us fully, we can, guide by the Holy Spirit, then the miracle come out. But the important thing is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit established this church, because that's what I'm convinced. That's why I'm here. And that's why myself too, all the way, you know, because have a commit myself because of the reasons. Thank you so much for both of you, and thank to the Lord. So we can finish with a silent prayer. Let's all pray in silence. Amen.